It's Thursday, February 7th, 2019, and you're welcome to this podcast from Black Knight, Ireland's leading provider of web hosting, domains and internet services. Valentine's Day is on the way, and if you'd like to win a €500 luxury break in a romantic Irish getaway, stay listening for details of our competition later in the show. Today, we bring you another episode recorded at Congregation, the unique unconference event held each November in the village of Cong, County Mayo, hence the name Congregation. You can find out more at congregation.ie, or indeed listen to the previous episode of this podcast, which is an interview with Owen Kennedy, the founder of Congregation. One of the speakers on the first night of Congregation this year was Joan Mulvihill, who's well known in the Irish internet community. She was formerly the CEO of the Irish Internet Association, but in Cong she was invited to talk about something else entirely. I caught up with her on Saturday evening in Ryan's Hotel.
So this is the safest place on earth. Congregation is the warmest, safest place on earth. So if you're going to reveal a new side to yourself or a part of you that people didn't know about, here is the best place to do it. And with 24 hours notice from Owen, he asked me to speak last night on myself as, and I really struggle to say the word, myself as an artist. And most people know me obviously through my role in tech. Some people know me through personal talks I've given about things that have happened in my life that changed me. But I think there's been, it was particularly strange feeling last night to talk about myself, about something that's making me really happy and giving me, I suppose, a confidence that at a time when it's been really useful to me. So I finish up on my role in DCU on Friday, and as with most of these events, people ask you, what are you doing now? And I'm going, well, I'm going to start my new career for 2 months in December and January, and I'm just going to paint more. So that's a thing I suppose most people don't know that I do, but I do paint. And what I talked about last night was really very much how I came from being a kid who could draw, who painted and drew for most of her life on and off, but moving from someone who I would call a hobby painter, and I only did it once every couple of years, and it's because every time I did one, I felt I got lucky. And I wanted to see if I applied myself, could I take the luck out of the equation? And also to start painting as I wanted to. I had painted for years what I thought those paintings, as I would say, things I thought my mother would like. And to suddenly start painting my style and to owning it and just saying, this is who I am and this is how I paint. And people will hate them, and being really okay with that. And other people will love them, and that's really, really nice. But mostly I love them. And to say that about something that you do yourself, you risk sounding cocky or arrogant or, you know, just self-assured. And that's actually not a feeling I have about them. But I love them for me. And if other people love them too, well, that's really nice. But it's been just about developing that process and that methodology to building confidence in myself that I can do this. So I think I'm really lucky that my job finishes up at a time when I've got a bit of runway for myself over the last couple of months in painting, that I now have something to do on that first Monday off. And so I've given myself the gift of December and January to paint or to figure out or just take a little bit of step back and a break and make sure that the next decision I make, the next career choice that I make, is the right one for me, all of me.
Joan, we're going to illustrate, this is an audio podcast, we're going to include when we publish it maybe some examples of your work just to show people who may not understand it, because I think it sets a context for the kind of conversation we're talking about. And I have to say to you that I'm coming to you or coming to this conversation as someone who, and it's interesting that this has just emerged from my perspective in the last few weeks, that I've noticed you've begun to share some of this work on Facebook, where I follow you and see you among many other things on Facebook. And I've been absolutely struck by the beauty and power of some of your pictures that I've seen that you've shared on Facebook. And I took from last night's talk by you, I took from that an impression that my reaction hasn't been unique, that you have surprised and impressed many other people and maybe surprised yourself a little as well.
Well, I think generally I've astonished myself, but I think what's been really nice is that I got to paint what I really wanted to paint, which is things I love. And I looked at them all one day, they were all there together in my house before I put them on the walls in other people's places. I saw them all together and I realised, gosh, you can tell I grew up in a landlocked county. There's no water and it's bog and it's fields and it's trees. They're all the things that I love, and I think some people are really motivated by, they talk about the power and the movement of the ocean, and I kind of realise I'm a quiet, still person when I paint, and I paint quiet, still scenes of forests and bogs and fields, all the things that I grew up with. And I think what's interesting for me in terms of that whole painting, how I do it now, I am a very gung-ho person, people who know me, a lot of energy, and I rush things. What I found is interesting is how I paint now is very measured, and it's this ultimate test in patience for me. I plan it all meticulously. I start and I will work through for 8 hours, just slowly, steadily building up each section, each color. And that is a level of concentration that I don't think I've exercised in years. I tend to move around a lot, talk a lot, moving more, on the go, jumping from one thing to another. And I can't do that when I paint. It's 8 hours. I have to set myself all that time, start to end. One painting I've done over 2 days. But it's a level of meticulous attention to detail.
And this is interesting, and I think perhaps surprising to people who know you, Joan, because we know you as very outgoing, very... And someone who's involved in organising, done so much work in organising events and that, and the work you did with the IAA and that as well. And yet, this is something which calls for a level of absorption and concentration and that, nobody didn't think you were capable of, but it's just such a different side to you, and it's like an awakening.
Well, it's a very silent thing.
Yes.
For me.
Yes.
I don't listen to music when I'm painting. There's no background noise. There is nothing. I work, the only noise you hear is that schlip when I'm ripping off some masking tape as I build up each section. So it's a time that I've never really given myself to do that before, but it's the incessant silence of it. Even when I run, I listen to music.
Yes.
I'm not known as a silent, noise-free zone.
Yes.
And if you walk into my house when I'm painting, it is a noise-free zone. There's nothing. It's just me and the task.
The other thing that's striking is that you have a mature, abstract style that you have revealed here with these paintings, which is very different from the more conventional, as you were saying, the kind of paintings you thought would impress and please your mother or your teachers or that as a child. And now you've come out with this really bold and confident and, as I said, abstract and intelligent style, Joan. And this is something that you've embraced. And you also said last night, which I thought was fantastic, was that you had underestimated your mother's taste.
I'm so glad you said that. Yeah, so I've been apparently underestimating my mother for 25, 35 years. I didn't realise that she actually loves these.
Yes.
My mother always says, the problem with landscape paintings is you can't beat nature.
Yeah.
And so when you try to paint nature as it is, you're trying to keep up with it. And you can never compete with it. So by taking an abstract interpretation of it, you're not competing with it. You're just giving kind of an homage to it, a nod to it. So I think all of the scenes, you can recognize what they are and where they are, but it's about, for me, the looking and seeing all the different colors that are in there, but not placing them where they were originally. So, you know, I could have a wheat field and there's a splash of pink in there, or a bog, and I have blue in the middle of it, or a stripe of red or yellow. So I really like that deconstructing of it, and and just building up another version. It's just been really good fun. I mean, I'd hate to sound terribly arty about it, because I don't know, sometimes you're working on gut and...
No, that's what I want to address with you, Joan, right? You're not a shy person, and you, as I said, you have successful achievements in business and in other fields. Why are you... Why the hesitation in saying I'm a good artist? You wouldn't have hesitated to say I'm a good manager, I'm a good administrator. Why to say I'm a good artist? What is that?
Well, I think I led with it last night. It's like the worst case of imposter syndrome I've ever felt in my life. And it's that idea that I did a commerce degree, so I should be good as a manager. I should be good as a business leader. I didn't study art. So on what basis do I feel I am qualified to be an artist? And I think a lot too comes back to school, and you know, when you do art at school, and I did the exams, but I didn't do the classes, I did it myself. It's about your child's capacity to draw. So we reckon children who are good at drawing are good at art. And actually what I'm doing now is actually very, very little to do with my drawing ability and much more to do with how I see colour and how I see shapes and how I can play with those. And it's a much more creative process for me. So I think in hindsight, looking back at my life, I always preferred making things to painting things. And now I am making and painting. And I think that's the bit that I love the most. But the imposter syndrome is it's not based on good drawing, and it's not based on a well-honed technique that you get from 4 years in university with education. So it's just my own style, and it's not one that I've been taught or I saw anywhere else. So I called myself yesterday the accidental restartist. So I'm restarting as an artist, so my restartist, that's my thing.
Are you afraid that maybe some people, artists, artistic community, critics may say, who does she think she is?
Well, someone was asking me today what my hack of the day was. And so I gave them one that my parents are going to be mortified if they ever hear this. My granny used to say something that apparently my grandfather said at a dinner party one night. It only stuck in my mind. We always thought it was funny that Granny would say it, because she would never swear, obviously. But he said at a party one night, feck them all bar Nancy and feck Nancy too. And I loved this. It was this idea of like, oh, feck them all. Who cares? Except Nancy. She's all right. Ah, feck Nancy as well. You know what? Maybe it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks.
Yeah.
Maybe it just matters that you like them. And it's really nice that other people do. But I'm really okay with some people hating them.
You said that last night. In fact, if everyone liked it, it would be just blah.
Yeah, I didn't want to paint something. It's not that I set out to paint something different. I just wanted to paint what I wanted to paint. And then I realised I'm actually really loving the fact that some people hate them. Because if they didn't hate them, then they'd be myth. They'd just be nice paintings. I'm sure I've been doing nice stuff for years. I wanted to do something that I loved. And it doesn't really bother me if no one else does. Doesn't at all.
The other thing you talked about last night was when you painted something once every 2 years or 3 years or something, you stopped then because you thought, oh, that turned out okay. I got lucky. And now you are painting much more frequently. And once you are able to do it full time, you have a target. You're going to do two a day, is it?
Oh, no, God, no. I couldn't do two a day.
Two every day.
The most I could do is two in a week, I'd say.
Okay.
Or maybe three in a fortnight, actually, is probably the most I could manage. But it's more the idea that I have... I'm building up... I carry a notebook with me all the time. So I have plans that I'm constantly working on.
You have a process.
I have a process now. I have a methodology for doing it. It's being
And so it's
refined.
Not about getting lucky.
It's not... No, I've taken the luck out of it. By developing a process, and you know, I'm sure I make mistakes, and I'm sure some people will love some more than others, and I will love some more than others. But one of the things I've noticed is I hate them all when I'm finished for about 4 hours, or possibly the whole night, and then I wake up the next morning, I walk into the room, and then it's my favorite. And I think it's for those hours immediately afterwards, I'm exhausted, and I've been looking at it, each individual part, for so long. You stop seeing the whole, and you look at it and it's like you just see the work, and then the next day you see the painting. And I think that's the lovely part. You wake up the next day and you see the painting. You see it with fresh eyes. And that's been a really nice thing.
You're listening to the Black Knight podcast. That was Joan Mulvihill, one of the featured keynote speakers at Congregation 2018. And as I mentioned during the interview, we'll feature some examples of Joan's art on the post that accompanies this podcast. If you click through from wherever you're listening to this, you should be able to see them. Or just go to blackknight.blog/podcast. You'll also find links there so you can subscribe to both our podcast and our blog. So what does all this have to do with domain names and clouds and web hosting? Nothing and everything. As we like to say at Black Knight, what we do every day isn't that interesting. But what other people do with internet technology that we provide is amazing. Congregation puts people in a coffee shop in a remote west of Ireland village to talk about art and writing and education and families and food and business and community development. But it would never happen without the internet and social media. The fire is stoked online, and those embers keep glowing all year long until the community gathers again. That's it from the Black Knight podcast for now, but we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. In the meantime, check out the Black Knight sale, which has broken out of January, and it's now on a rampage through February with dozens of bargains. New, .ie, .com and .blog domains, for example, are just $4.99 ex-VAT. It's complete madness. If you're attending the Digital Media Awards in Dublin next week, do say hello to us. Black Knight is a sponsor of that event also, and I believe there are still some tickets available at digitalmedia.ie. Finally, I want to tell you about the competition we're running in association with Ireland's Blue Book. Again, you'll find details on blackknight.blog. The prize is a €500 voucher to spend with Ireland's Blue Book, the romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. It's free to enter, you don't need to be a Black Knight customer, and you can submit bonus daily entries every day up until February 15th, when the winner will be announced by Tom Dunn on stage at the Digital Media Awards. Agus Sinavuelo, Fad Krella, Black Knight, Gafolin, that's it for now. Wemshe Conamwinechon, Slán Agus Benacht.